You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody ready for the Word?
Yes.
Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 17, Luke chapter 17. You're going to love this, because I'm believing you're going to love it. I'm confessing you're going to love it. I've been praying you're going to love it. No, that's the Word. You love the Word, you'll love this. You know, God's for you, not against you. He's on your side. He's not your problem. He's your ally, your friend. He's not your adversary. He's not your enemy. We have an enemy or adversary who is the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. You know, and uses all kinds of things to get us in his camp and in his territory. Sin, that's what sin is. Sin will get you in the wrong camp. It'll get you in the wrong territory. And holy living and loving and forgiving and praying for people get you in the right camp. Right. You know, so we got to know what camp we're of. Right. We're Christians. We're believers. Amen. And so we win this deal, but we win because we've got the greater number. God before us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. We're in the majority in that sense. We may not be in the majority in the world as it appears, but in the spirit we are definitely in the majority. God's on our side, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And one of the weapons that God has given us, of course, is our faith. And we're going to talk about this morning, about faith and what the Bible says about it, what the apostles said about it. And one thing in particular, in the 17th chapter of Luke, what the apostles came and addressed or asked Jesus about. Luke 17, verse 5 says, "And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith." Everybody say, increase our faith. Well, actually, that wasn't an accurate question. I mean, that wasn't the right way to say it. And Jesus corrected them in that, in what he said afterwards. I mean, we often think, well, if I just had more faith, God just give me more faith. Often it's that we're facing a trial and we say, God, give me some more faith. But that's really not the right question. Faith is not something God gives you more of. Now, if you'll stay with me, we'll see this. We're going to go through this point by point. Don't write me off as soon as you hear a statement that makes your ears stick up or, you know, puts up the antennas. But let's follow it through. God doesn't give us more faith. Faith is something that we work on. It's something that we increase. It's something that we use and we build and we develop. God's already given us faith. Faith is something we have. It's something we use. It's something we do. It's a decision we make. And when we do it or use it or make that decision to believe God, we strengthen it and we increase it in that sense. God's not going to duplicate it and give you got some faith, now he's going to give you more faith. He takes the faith you have and increases it and develops it as you use it. And so what they were asking was, God, just, you know, let's skip all the steps, just give me some more faith. Hello. In other words, we want the roof on this building. We don't want to build the walls and the foundation. No, you put the foundation in the walls and in the roof. There are steps. There's a process that gets to great faith. If you want great faith, you have to use the faith you have. Amen. So he said this. He said, the Lord said, sixth verse, if you have faith, everybody say have faith.
Have faith.
If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So we get some insight here. He says, if you have faith, you'd say. Everybody say, say. Well, first of all, faith's not something we really spend a lot of time thinking about. It's just something we use. It's something we do. It's a decision we make. And if we have faith, we would say. To the problems of life, to the challenges of life, the tests, the trials of life, faith is what we use to overcome those. That's what God's given us to win the battle with. It's not something we make a big deal per se out of. It's something we put to use. It's something that we reach out and do and act on. Mm-hmm. They're saying, Lord, give us more faith. Jesus said, just do what you can with what you have. Just say what it is that you're wanting to happen.
Right.
If you had faith just like a mustard seed, just a little bit, you'd say to this mulberry tree, be removed, be plucked up, and it would obey you. See, a lot of times we make a big deal out of, can I believe God? Can I get over? Am I going to be able to believe God? Am I going to be able to trust God? Listen, just trust Him.
Amen.
Just do it. Just call on Him. Just trust Him. Just say what God says. Just pray what God says. Just say with your mouth what God says about your situation and quit making such a big deal out of whether you have faith or whether you don't have faith. Just use what you have. And as you do that, your faith will develop and it will increase. See, when you think about a seed as a mustard seed, well, a mustard seed is not that big, but it grows when it's planted. So faith is a thing that grows. Faith will increase in your life, and God will develop your faith as you use it, but He's not going to duplicate it. He's not going to give you extra faith. He's just going to develop what you have or increase what you have, just like a seed. If you want the seed to grow, you have to use it. You have to plant it or put it in the ground.
That's good. Yeah.
Amen? Now, hold your place there because I want to get back to that. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Now, we all face challenges in life. It could be marital. It could be family. It could be physical. It could be financial, emotional. There's all kinds of challenges in life and tests and battles and so on and so forth. We are not without help, of course, from God, but we're not without the ability to call on God and to believe God and trust God. When you were born again, God implanted in you faith. You have faith. I have faith. He's given to every man the measure of faith. In fact, the Bible tells us very plainly, Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 4:13, don't turn there. He says, we all having the same spirit of faith. Everybody say, same spirit. So whatever Paul had, he was addressing those at Corinth, and he said they had the same thing he had. Because he said we. Everybody say we.
We.
Okay. He didn't say I. He said we all having the same spirit of faith. And then he just laid it out. Real Bible faith is really pretty simple. It's 1, 2, 3. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken.
Amen.
And then he said, we also believe and therefore speak. Everybody say speak.
Speak.
In other words, we believe what God says, so we speak what God says.
Yeah.
We believe what God promised, so we say what God promised. He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me, so I say He will never leave me nor forsake me. He said He would deliver me in the time of trouble, therefore I will be delivered in the time of trouble.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, David was just talking his faith. In fact, in that Psalms 23, he was just making statements of fact out of the Bible, the Lord's my shepherd. And then he made a statement of faith based on that fact, the Lord's my shepherd. And he said, I shall not want. He applied it to himself. He made it personal. He made it practical. I think that's where we miss it. We don't always make it practical. We don't make it personal. We don't tag it and put our name on it. We say it's there. We believe it abstractly, in general, about God, about His Word. But we don't say, it's for me. That's my God. That's my Father. That's my promise.
Amen.
See, faith will always say. It's like having a seed. You've got to claim that seed. You've got to say, that's my seed, and then plant that seed. Are you with me? If you just hold it in your hand, it's not going to grow. But if you plant it, it will grow. Now, 2 Thessalonians, y'all find it?
Amen.
Good, I think I'll find it now. 2 Thessalonians. Let me give you a tip. If you're up ministering, find the scripture first, then tell everybody where it is.
Right.
2 Thessalonians. Yeah, that's a good book. First chapter. Notice what it says in the third verse. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Everybody say grows. Now see, Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Well, what is that likened to, as a grain of mustard seed? A seed that has potential when it's sown. A seed that has potential to grow. Not a seed that's just going to lay there and become several seeds, but a seed that will grow and mature and produce other seeds, yes. But that seed has to, something has to be done with that seed to get more seeds. Hello. God doesn't add more seeds to that seed. You have to take that seed and plant that seed. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what he... See, they were in essence saying, Lord, just give us more faith. And he says, no, that's not. Use what you have and it will grow.
Amen.
Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I know you're excited. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. He says here in that third verse, 2 Thessalonians, first chapter, third verse, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So the principle that Jesus was talking about was a principle of growth. It's a principle of increase and development, as it were. So You take what you have and you develop it and you use it and it will increase. You take what you have and you plant it and you say it and you pray it, and by reason of use, it will mature and it will grow and it will develop. Now, that was the correct answer to the question, which the question really wasn't accurate. God wasn't going to increase their faith. He was going to develop their faith as they used it. And, of course, in the sense of using it, Jesus told them, you would say. You would say. Hello. A seed you would plant. Liken that over to faith. How do you plant this faith? How do you make faith grow? You say. Faith says. It speaks things. It says things. It prays things. Problems come, we pray. Are you with me? Crisis comes, we pray. And we say what God says. Now, we don't make a big deal out of the faith issue because a lot of times we spend too much time exalting and elevating our faith and making faith almost like an entity. Faith is a choice we make. We make the choice. Faith is not the chooser. Faith is what we choose. I'm the chooser. And faith is not the user. Faith doesn't use me. I'm the user. I use faith. Hello. Seeds don't plant themselves, I plant them. They're given to me to increase, to develop, to grow, but I make the choice to plant or not plant. Faith is given to me to help me, to give me weapons, battles, in battles and tests that I can win battles, but I have to use it. And so when you say increase our faith or ask increase our faith, Jesus turned around and said, just use your faith. Use your faith. And if you'll use your faith, it will grow. Ooh, hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know if I've got... No, you've got faith. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say the measure.
The measure.
Okay, so I've got faith, you've got faith. The question is, what are we doing with it? And then, of course, we quoted 2 Corinthians 4:13. We all have in the same spirit of faith. We all, everybody say we all.
We all.
Now, that's Texas talk there. We ought to be able to get it with that. We all have faith. You know you all have it, okay? And we all have it. So he's telling us, let's just do something with it. And, of course, in that verse, in that context, it's very simple. It's first, Bible faith is according to as is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. So it's written, this is Bible faith. It's written first. You've got to find it in the Word. You can't just believe anything. This is not some subjective blind leap in the dark here, anything you want to pray for, believe for. No, 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 no. But if you can find it in the Word, you can believe for it and pray for it.
Amen.
If it's in the Scripture, if God says it, yes, you can believe it. And you should believe it. And you know what? If you believe it, you will say it. And when you say it, you consummate what the Bible calls faith, the spirit of faith. 1, 2, 3. It's written, it's believed, spoken. Amen. And that's what Jesus said over and over, different ways, different times, you know, different parables. And in Luke 17, which we start out with, if you will, turn back there. That's what he is going over here also. He says, so the Lord said, sixth verse, Luke 17, verse 6. The Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say. You can say. Ooh, I love that. Faith speaks. Faith says something. You know, I'm reminded of Romans 10th chapter, and we all know the 9th verse, where it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But the 8th verse says, what saith it? Talking about faith. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And the 10th verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I love that. Because what happens is, Christianity is the great confession. It's us confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. We believe the tomb is empty. We believe Jesus rose again. We believe He died for our sins and rose again. Amen. And we believe that to such an extent, to such a, it has made such an impact on us that we've turned our life over to it and we confess Him as our Lord. We enter into a vow with Him, just like you would a marriage vow. You make a confession. You make vows. You confess. If you enter into office, they do a confession. You make a confession. You're sworn in. Hello. And now if you're a Christian, you make a confession. you confess Jesus as Lord. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. So that's faith. Faith is believing in your heart, it's confessing with your mouth. A lot of times we think we're believing, we're not believing. Well, I've turned it over to God, I don't know what's going to happen. If He doesn't do anything, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that's not faith, you're not confessing. You're saying you turn it over to the Lord, then you're saying you don't know if He'll do it. In other words, you went in prayer, you threw something over on the altar of God, you tied a rope to it, and you pulled it back with you when you left. Hello, you lassoed that thing and you went home with it. Yeehaw. Now I know we're from Texas. I know we're from Texas and I know all the sayings and everything. I'm a Texan myself, you know. But I kind of hate to use gambling terms, but you know, when it comes to prayer, you got to know when to hold them, you got to know when to fold them. Now you got to let it go when you pray. Don't y'all run out here just quoting all my gambling terms. You know, I can see this coming. Pastor said you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to hold them. You know, yippee-ki-yi-yay. Okay. So faith is something we do. It's something we use. Don't make a big deal out of faith. Have I got it? Have I not? Oh, you have it. You know, it's like saying, have I got arms? Have I got arms? Yes, you've got arms. Just use them. Have I got legs? Have I got? Yeah, use them. Just walk out there on them. Just start walking.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello. And you know what? The more you walk, the more you develop your legs.
Right.
The more you use them, the more you develop them. See, right. Faith is just like that. Seeds, when you plant them, they grow.
Right.
Muscles, when you use them, they grow. So. Okay, I'm getting off that real quick. But anyway. 6th verse says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, in one sense, he's saying the mulberry tree will obey you. No question. It'll do what you say. It'll do what you pray. Circumstances will change if you'll pray and believe God. They will. They will do what you say or what you pray. You're not God. I'm not saying that. But you're a child of God. And God moves through you and through me. We are His body, His hands, His feet. We are His modus operandi. We are how He operates, His base of operation. If He's going to do anything, He's going to do it through us.
That's right. Yeah.
If He's going to love, He's going to love through you.
Yeah.
If people are going to see Jesus, they're going to see Him in you.
That's right.
Until they meet Him, until they know Him. And so we have to get out there and move and lift our hands and our arms and our feet and our mouth. All those things we have to do because we are how God moves.
Yeah.
We're not God, but we are how He moves. We do His will, as it were. And faith is what He's given us to use. Just like in the natural, we have arms and legs and so on and so forth. You're not going to get any more arms. You're not going to get any more legs. God forbid you would. You look kind of funny. But you can develop your arms and you can develop your legs. Hello. Okay, so it says here, this is good. He says, it would obey you, it would obey you. Well, he could be talking about the tree. I think he literally is talking about the tree. But in one sense, you could say almost that he's talking about your faith.
Right.
That your faith would obey. Your faith would just do what it's supposed to do if you just say what God says. You know, when I eat food, I don't say, now I'm telling your stomach, I want you to take this food and I want you to digest this food. No, it's just going to do it. I put the food, that stomach's going to do it. It's going to digest the food. I don't have to talk to it per se. I just act on this thing. And that's what it was made to do. You know, faith is made to do what you say.
That's right.
It was just made to do what you say. You can talk about faith, talk to faith, try to increase your faith, but what you need to do is just say what the Word says. That is faith. That will put faith to work.
That's good.
Yeah. And faith will obey you.
Yep.
Faith will obey you. It will obey what you say. In fact, it'll only do what you say. Faith will never do what you don't say. If you say the opposite of faith, then faith can't work because faith only does what you say. Y'all get it?
Yes.
Seeds only do what they do if you plant them. You have to plant them or they don't do anything. They're there dormant to have potential, all kinds of possibilities. But until they're planted, nothing happens. Until faith is used, nothing happens. God, give me more faith, give me more faith. No, just act on what you have.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I'd love to be able to run a mile, but I just can't run a mile. Well, why don't you start walking a quarter mile? Do that for a while, then walk a half a mile. Hello? Do that for a while, walk three-quarters mile, then walk a mile, then start jogging a little bit. You'll be amazed in time how you will develop your muscles to do, listen, to do what you couldn't have done before, but it happened when you started doing what you could. Woo, hallelujah. So it says here, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and it planted to the, in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will he say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? In other words, oh, you've worked hard. Come on here and sit down and eat. And you haven't eaten yet. That's hard for us to imagine this because we, you know, slavery has been abolished. You know, back in that system that they lived in, there were servants and there were slaves, and that was the system. God wasn't condoning that. He wasn't saying it was okay. He was just using that example that we could all follow. If you had a machine that operated, put it that way, a machine that operated and did what you told it to do by pushing buttons and pulling levers, you wouldn't sit there and talk about the machine and not let the machine take care of you. It's there to take care of you. That's what it's there to do. It does what you tell it to do. A servant in that sense did what you told him or her to do. Are you with me? There's no sense in making much of the servant. Just tell the servant what to do, and the servant will do it. That's what the servant does. Faith is a servant. We talk about faith. We talk about what. But listen, faith just does what you say. Just like a servant does what you say. That's what it's there for. We can just talk about faith and talk about faith, but faith is there for us. It is there to work for us. It is there to fight the battles of life. God has given it to us. Let's put it to work. Amen? So faith's like a seed. It grows. Faith's like a servant. Faith is like a, well, it's like a muscle. I mean, wouldn't it be ridiculous to say, you know, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase my biceps. Every man that goes to the gym has two things in mind. Left arm, right arm. That's what we want to develop. That's it. You know, this one. I get tickled. You know, people get work out in the gym, and they never work out their legs, so they look like the hijack of chicken. You know. Anyway. I can say that because I got skinny legs, too, but anyway. Just right here. That's all we're worried about right there. We just want to develop that right there, you know. And total workout. Total body workout. But, I mean, wouldn't it be, you don't go to a gym, though. Hello. And ask for more bicep. You got two. That's all you got. That's all you got. Now go get any more. Lord, increase my triceps. No. I'm sorry. It didn't work that way. You got two when you're born. And that's all you're ever going to have. Hello. I mean, you have a certain amount of muscles that you don't get any more muscles. I mean, we have Dr. Burrs here. He's a chiropractor. He can tell you all about different muscles in your body. One thing you're never going to get, you're never going to get any more muscles. From here's a little Devin right here. Devin has all the muscles I have. Has all the legs. Isn't that right? Show me your muscle. You got a muscle there? Look at that.
No, this is his muscle.
Oh, right there? That's good. Looks good. Ooh, man. Wow. Eating your spinach, I can tell. So there he is, showing. There he is. But see, he's got two arms. Look there. Look at those legs. Whoa, showing off those legs right in church too. He's got two legs. I got two legs. He's got two arms. He doesn't have any more than I have. I don't have any more than he does. But what's the difference? Mine's been developed, matured. I've lived a little longer. As he grows and he lives longer, his muscles will develop. You know, as he uses them. You know what? If he doesn't use them, they will go into atrophy or attrition. They'll go down.
That's right.
If he doesn't use them. Yes. But if you use them, he will increase. He will increase them in the sense that they have more. He'll develop them.
Right.
And faith is like that. We're looking for a magic formula or just a wand that God's going to hit us and give us more faith. No. Use what you have. You pray. You believe now with where you are.
Amen.
Stand on the Word. In your life, in your situation, listen, you're not going to believe God for $1 million if you can't believe for a hamburger. Okay? Just think about it. You develop your faith. I know where we are right now in the church. I wasn't ready to believe for all this when we first started the church. The finances that we're in, the missions that we're in, the missions that we're giving, the Hallelujah Night and all that. But you know, we develop to that point. And we're going to keep developing. I mean, our budget now, goodness gracious, is 10 times what it was when we started the church. And what we have now is just over the top. It's unreal when you think. But if we had not used our faith then, if we had not started where we were then, and believed God for seemingly no bills hardly now comparatively, I mean, our electric bills as much as our rent was back then, you know, or more. It's actually been more. At one time, we were paying over $2,000 in electricity a month. A month, people. But, I mean, we're not beggars, and we believe for that, and God provides that, and we thank God for that. I mean, that's fine. We're going to build this gymnasium. You know, when we build that gymnasium, get in that gymnasium, the electric bill is going to go up again. I don't understand that. But, no, I do. It'll go up again. But, see, we're ready for that. Our faith has developed. It has grown. Our church has grown. But we had to use what we had and develop it. We didn't say, Lord, give us more faith. We started using what we had like a muscle. You know, and faith grows or develops by use, period. You know, and like a muscle, muscles need resistance. Now, God doesn't send tests and trials. I do not believe that. I don't believe God's behind the test. I don't believe behind the trial. I believe He's behind the answer and the way out. But we live in a broken, fallen world, and there are going to be tests and there's going to be trials. And I'm very distinctive about separating that when you're going through a bad time, God's not trying to teach you anything. That is the devil or circumstances or just this fallen world, or it could be sin. It's not always your sin. It could be someone else's sin, or it could just be the world you're in. But it's not God. God's not the problem. If you call on God, He will help you get out of the mess. God's the answer. Amen?
Amen.
But here's something that's real positive about that. Trials are not good. Battles are not good. Tragedy is not good. Don't call good evil and evil good. The Bible says, woe be unto those who call evil good and good evil. But God can get good out of them if we trust and believe Him. Okay, we can get stronger by trusting God in the trial and develop our faith, get closer to the Lord, if we call on Him. Now, if we don't call on Him, you can get bitter and mad. I've seen people go through tragedy and trial and loss and get mad at God and get out of church and never came back. So the trial didn't make them better, and the tragedy didn't make them better. But I have seen people, on the other hand, call on God in the time of trouble, get right with God in the time of trouble, and come to God. Now, the trial didn't do that. The tragedy didn't do that. You know what did that? Their choice to believe God did that.
Yeah. Amen.
And because they believe God in that trial or tragedy or test or crisis that you may be going through, because you do that, because you call on God, you know what you do? You get stronger. The devil loses and God wins. And what the devil meant for bad, God turns for good, because God can turn anything for good. He can work all things to your good for those that love the Lord that are called according to His purpose. But you qualify that. You got to love God. You got to call on God, because He cannot work for your good anything that you don't call on Him for or love Him in the midst of.
Amen.
A lot of people just taking that scripture and says, well, every bad thing happens, God did it to work some good in me. No, God did not do it. The devil did it. But God can work good if you love Him and you're called according to His purpose. Because for every person you find that got right with God because of the loss of a loved one or a tragedy in their life, you can find another one that's mad at God right now and even left church and don't want to have anything to do with God. It's not what happens to you. It's what you do. It's how you respond. It's how you react when something happens to you. And faith's that way. Faith is to be used in trials, in tests, in trouble. And what it'll do is it will develop as you use it, just like a muscle develops as it has resistance. If you're going to develop biceps and triceps, then you're going to have to get in the gym. You're going to have to push against some weight. You know, I use that example all the time. I know Tracy, she knows where I'm going with this, and most of y'all do. But we have visitors, so y'all bear with me. If I were to go into a gymnasium and just put a big barbell across my chest and have everybody come lay it on my chest, you know, with lots of weight, big barbell, lay on that bench. I said, come on, guys, lay it on there. They laid it on there. Put a timer on the wall. 30 minutes later, I said, come get it off. Yeah. They come pick it up and they get it off. I get up, had my workout, and I go home. I come back the next day. Come on, guys, let's do this again.
Yeah.
They lay it on there, put that timer on the wall. 30 minutes, take it off, guys, take it off. I'm done. My workout is through. I've had my workout today. And I leave. Now, I do that 5 days a week, month, 3 months, 6 months, a year. Did you know I will not get any stronger? I'll have a dent across my chest, probably. I'll look like this, you know, because I have this crease across my chest. Well, what's the problem? I went to the gym. They put the weights on me. You know what? I never pushed against them. I never resisted them. And when trials come, if you do not push against them, and you do not resist them, you will not grow. Trials don't make you stronger. Tests don't make you stronger. When the devil comes in and throws everything he has at you, it does not make you stronger. You know what makes you stronger? When you stand against it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you put your faith to work. The devil loses. He gets a black eye. You win. God wins. And God turns it around for good. But that's got a requirement. It's only dependent on you. It's dependent on whether you believe God or not. Whether you resist it or come against it or not. See, and that's where the confusion comes. Because there's so many people that have come to God and maybe developed their faith and got closer to God because of some tragedy or some trial or whatever. And they mistake that trial for the reason or that crisis for the reason or that loss. They mistake it for God. They say, well, God did that to me to bring me to Him. God did not do that to you. The devil did that to you to push you away from God. Thank God you called on God and God came down and showed up. But it was because of what you said. It's because of what you prayed. You did something with your faith. And you know what happened when you did that? Your faith increased by development, by growth. You got stronger because you used what you had. If you're faithful in the little, He'll put you over much. Pure and simple. So we see here in this parable, or this explanation, answer to this question. 6th verse, the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat, and will not rather say to him, everybody say to him. Okay, because that's what servants, you say to servants. You say to things that are given to you to benefit you and help you. You say to things, okay? You say. Would you not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what it was our duty to do. Now that's a little confusing there at the end. But what he's saying is, we do what God says. It is our duty to do what God says. Faith does what we say. It is its duty to do what we say. Lord, increase our faith? Oh, no. Lord, increase our biceps? No. Lord, increase our tricep? Lord, increase our seed? No. Sow the seed. Use the muscle. Say with your mouth what God says. Your faith will grow. The seed will grow. The muscles will develop. Are you getting it? See, faith is a servant. It serves you.
Sure.
Don't make a big deal out of faith. Just say the word and faith will do what you say.
Amen. Good.
Amen. Just say it. It will do it. You say it and it will do it. Faith, I do what God says.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't do it. If God doesn't say it, I don't do it. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
That's the analogy he gave. I mean, he talked about servants. He talked about seeds. He talked about us being God's servants. And he talked about faith. Faith was the whole point of the thing. That's what started the whole conversation. Lord, increase our faith. I do what God says. I don't do anything until God says it. And if God doesn't say it, I don't do it. Faith does what I say. And it doesn't do anything until I say it.
That's good.
If I don't say it, faith doesn't do it. Jesus told them, this is how faith works. This is how you develop your faith. Say what it is that you're believing for. Say it, and faith will obey it. And you don't have to make a big deal of it. You don't have to bring the servant in, sit him down and feed him, talk about him. Like when I go and pick this Bible up with my arm, I don't just say, my arm, pick this Bible up. My bicep, whoa, look at, did y'all see that? Boy, that, whoo, whoo. My bicep, whoa, my arm. No, you know what I did? I picked the Bible up. I use my arm, bicep. And when I pray and believe God, I'm using my faith. But I don't make a big deal of the faith. God's given me that to serve me. I'm the one that makes the choice. I'm the one that makes the decision. Will you believe God? How many times did Jesus ask that of people? He said, do you believe I'm able to do that? Do you believe? He didn't say, do you have faith? He said, do you believe? Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? So faith says seeds are planted. Turn to Mark and I'll close this out. Just helping you this morning?
Yeah,
I just got to teach on me. I just want to help you and make it practical. And if we make it so complicated, Jesus says it's just not that complicated. You don't need more muscles. You just need to use the ones you got. You don't even need more seed. You just need to plant what you have. Actually, God gives seed to sowers. God doesn't look around for people who don't have seed. He looks around for people who have seed and are planting seed. You get it? He gives seed to sowers. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Jesus said, give, and it shall be given to you. Right. Lord, give me something, I'll give. No, 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 no. He said, you give, and it will be given to you.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Woo! Well, Lord, I'm ready for harvest. I'm ready for reaping something here. Well, you don't reap unless you sow. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Don't try to skip all the steps. You know, if you want stronger faith, use what you have.
Amen.
Are you using what you have? Are you praying and believing God today? What's going on in your life now? Are you standing on the Word now? Say the Word. Say the Word. Pray the Word. And as you do so, your faith begins to develop. Mark, the 4th chapter, in the 30th verse, Jesus said this. He said, and I'm just thinking about what he said over in Luke 17 about as a grain of mustard seed, when it grows, he talked about when it grows and so on, and it will grow. 30th verse says, then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it or compare it? It is like a mustard seed. See, he just used that analogy over in 17th chapter, remember? He talked about faith and mustard seed. It says, it is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. What was the key here about this seed? It had to be sown. It's nothing until it's sown. Faith's nothing until it's said. Faith's not even an action until you say it. But when you say it, you increase it. Lord, increase our faith. Well, that's not even, God's not going to give you more faith. If you had faith, you'd say. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'd say. And so the key here is real simple. If you want to grow in God, use what you have. If you want to develop your faith, use your faith. Use what you have now. And obviously it develops. Sure, you're not going to come out here and believe for $1 million. It doesn't happen that way. But you can start believing where you are. It may be your light bill. I don't know what your challenge is. But start praying. Start believing God. Start trusting God. Are you with me? Quit getting in doubt and unbelief and worry and whining and moaning and gloom and agony on in. They quit showing hee-haw shows years ago. Come on. Hello. We can trust God. We can believe God. We can do something with our faith. And as we do, it will grow.
Amen. That's good.
Woo. Hallelujah. The key is you got to sow it. When it's sown, it grows. 32nd verse. When it's sown, it grows. When it's sown, it grows. Get it? So increase. Well, no, wait a minute. No, increase. Just say. Just say your faith. Pray your faith. Use your faith. It'll grow. It'll increase when you use it. Ooh, hallelujah.